We've been going through the book, the letter from Paul to the Ephesians, and anger is definitely at the center of this passage. I was remembering the opening scene of The Wizard of Oz, when Toto, the dog, has bitten the kind of cruel, mean, malicious neighbor of the Gale family, and the neighbor, who eventually is also the Wicked Witch, comes to the farmstead and demands that Toto be released to her. She has a written permission to receive Toto. She wants to take Toto because this dog bit her, and she wants to have him destroyed, to be put down. And Dorothy is just upset by this, and she's pleading to the woman and pleading to Auntie M and her uncle and just crying out, don't let them take Toto. Don't let her destroy Toto. And the law is against her. And so Dorothy runs off crying. And as Dorothy does that, Auntie M turns to their cruel neighbor and says, for 23 years I've been dying to tell you what I thought of you. And now, well, being a Christian woman, I can't say it. And then she storms off too. Auntie M knows what we know too, though we often forget, and that is that there are things that we want to do, things in this world we want to say, or the ways we want to react that are not befitting a Christian person. There are things that we just want to do that are not appropriate for followers and believers of Jesus Christ. Auntie M's case, there was something she wanted to say, but she knew she shouldn't say it. Paul likes to give us lists of things, and in this part of the letter, he gives us a list as well. And he starts out this portion of the letter and he ends this portion of the letter by telling us there's certain things you need to put away. You got to get rid of them. Put them away because they do not belong to people who follow Jesus Christ. Put them away, get rid of them. And he gives us this illustration of a thief. You should be like this thief, in fact. All these things that you used to do, like thieving if you were a thief, you stop thieving. You get rid of it. And instead, you go out, you work hard, you earn a living, and you bless other people with what you have earned. Put away certain things. Just put them away. And so what does Paul tell us? What's part of this list? First, he says, put away falsehood and instead speak the truth to our neighbors, truth and love. He mentions anger a lot, and at the end of the list, there's a lot of things that have to do with anger. In the middle there, he says, let no evil talk come out of your mouths. Just stop talking evil, corrupting talk. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath, anger, wrangling, which is kind of angry arguing, I guess. Slander. Put away malice. Put all these things away. When I was a sophomore in college at the great school of UND, the number one school in the state, I was living in Walsh Hall, and there was a day where my roommates and suite mates and I all of a sudden started smelling this weird smell in our suite. And we kind of looked around for it, but we couldn't really nail it down, and it just, we couldn't find what it was. And as the days went on, the smell got a little worse, which you would never expect a guy's dorm to be like this. And we just couldn't find the smell, and day after day it got worse and worse. It was in our rooms, it was in the hallway, which got kind of dangerous because we lived right across the hall from really big UND men's hockey players, and you didn't want to upset them. And it went down the hall, and eventually the whole wing had this rotten, terrible, kind of disgusting smell, which we knew emanated from our area, but we couldn't figure out where it was. And eventually what happened is we found out that our suite mates were in a prank war with somebody else in the hall, and they eventually came and told us, listen, we put an open can of sardines behind your toilet. And it's surprising. You would have thought in all the cleaning we did as young men, we would have found it. But we didn't. And it looked rotten. It looked terrible. The smell was rotten, and it just corrupted the whole wing. And they found it for us because they knew where it was, because they put it there, and they took it away from us. This list that Paul has, a lot of the words, they have this connotation of rottenness, of corruption, like fruit that has gone really soft and bad, that has worms crawling through it, of something that's moldy, something that stinks, that you don't want to be around. These things, this evil talk, this anger, this malice, falsehood, they are things that Paul implies rot within us if we let them. And when they rot within us, they that smell, that rottenness permeates all around. They are things you need to get rid of, to put away, to cast off. Now we look at a list like this, and especially the end there, and you see bitterness, you see wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, malice. Words like this, we often, I think, feel like, well, God can't be talking about me. I don't have wrath. I don't have malice. In fact, Paul actually says, you can be angry, but do not sin. However, Paul's also clear about this, that even the smallest bit of anger can give the devil an opportunity. In other places in Scripture, I think it talks about how you don't give the devil a foothold. Imagine climbing on a rock face and you need a hole so you can put your foot in there. Once you get it in there, it's solid and you can push yourself up and go the next step. Don't give the devil a place where he can progress to the next step. Anger has vast potential to give opportunity to the devil, to cause us to go one step further, to cause anger to become slander and to include a wrangling and include malice, which is wanting to do something with your anger. It's what turns us into the Hulk and makes us violent, even to a little degree. Paul says, cast it all out. Put it away. Get rid of it. It is not part of who you are as a follower of Jesus. And then he gives us a short list at the end too. We're supposed to put away these things and instead be these things. Be kind to one another, verse 32. And that kindness there, it's not just being nice. It's not polite. It's not just opening the door for somebody. The word there is stronger. It's benevolent. Be gracious. Go out of your way for other people. Serve other people. That's what kindness is here. Be tender-hearted. Literally, it means have your guts. Go out to somebody. Be compassionate for them. The same kind of compassion that Jesus showed for those who had need, for those who were sinners. Be compassionate to them. Be forgiving, as Christ has forgiven you. Because, oh man, Christ has forgiven us a lot, hasn't he? More so than we could ever need to forgive another person. So be forgiving as Christ has forgiven you. And then here's the real kicker, verse 1 in chapter 5. Therefore be imitators of God. Imitate God. Now if that isn't a lofty goal, I don't know what is. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant and sacrifice, fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As we've gone through Ephesians, I don't know if you noticed, the first three chapters are really just beautiful blessings. It talks over and over about what God has done for you. And then after that, chapter 4 on, it's all about what we need to do, and it can be hard to hear, but we have to remember the first parts. Because all this is based on what God has already done for you. Chapter 1, we hear over and over about how God has called you out of darkness into his light. He has found you. In fact, Ephesians 1 talks about how you are predestined by God to be his. God has chosen you to belong to him in Jesus Christ. He has adopted you as his children. All this is nothing on your own account. He has gone out and found and claimed you as his own. That's where this begins. Because without that, without knowing that Christ has first forgiven us, that Christ died for us, that he first loved us before we ever loved him, without that, we would continue to be a rotting can of sardines hidden away in a boy's dormitory. Jesus is more than an example or a model for us. He is the one who comes into our lives, dwells within us, places his spirit in us, calls us his children, and in doing so, creates in you a new person who is his and empowers in you a person to live as he desires. So put away all these things. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven you, and as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a sacrifice for you. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful Father, there are so many things in our lives that need to be fixed, and we cannot do it without you. Empower us by your Spirit, by the indwelling Christ, to live as forgiven people, to live as people who are changed by you. Help us to be kind, tender-hearted, to put away those things that are rotten in us. And when we fail, remind us once again of your forgiveness. We pray this in your name. Amen.